Non-disclosure agreements have been in the news lately, but they are nothing new, as we see in our story today. Non-disclosure agreements are created when people at the top of a given system or society want to control the story that is being told, whether it's about them or whether it's about the world or just their tribe. And they want to control the story being told because these stories give a foundation for the whole system that keeps them on top. And the glue that holds the whole system together, again, whether it is a family or a tribe or a nation, whatever the case, or a religion, whatever the case may be, the glue that holds these systems together, typically, in the world, is fear. Fear for our safety. Fear that we won't have enough. Fear that we won't have approval or acceptance from others. A non-disclosure agreement asks us to sacrifice our stories that might threaten the existing narrative so that the system can remain stable. And what's promised for the sacrifice of our stories is safety, is resources or money, is some guarantee of approval or acceptance within that system. Most of us sacrifice our stories without ever signing our name on any formal agreement. We give the world power over us because we too are motivated by fear. We accept the world's story that the most important things come from the world, that they are distributed by those who have the power to protect us, the power to distribute the world's resources, the power to make our name great or to destroy our reputation. And as we accept that story, we learn to play by the rules of the system for fear of losing those things we think we need. And so the story that we look at today from the Easter account in the Gospel of Matthew is not just about people long ago, it is about us as well. It's a story about two systems that are undergirded by two stories. It's the story of two groups. Scholar R.T. France notices in verse 11 that there are two groups, he says, hurrying away from the tomb. And the same word is used in verse 8. It says, "So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples." This is, of course, talking about the women. "As well as," in verse 11, "while they were going, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests everything that had happened." In both cases, these groups are hurrying away, and the gospel writer wants us to put these two groups in contrast to one another. On one hand, the women, and on the other hand, the guards and soldiers at the tomb. He says, "The women have a message of hope and victory for the disciples, while the guards have a message of confusion and failure for the priests." Now I want to look at these soldiers today. These soldiers were most likely Jewish and answering to the Jewish authorities that had led the charge in crucifying Jesus. But these soldiers, like Mary and like Cleopas in Luke 24, like Thomas, like Peter, these soldiers are confronted with the resurrection. They find themselves in proximity to the greatest work that God had done since the creation of the world. But they respond differently. than the disciples do. Like the disciples, this day began as a normal day for them, and they were given normal work to do. They were probably aware of the things that had happened. If you remember, Cleopas on the road says to Jesus, he says, "Are you the only one who hasn't heard about what happened to Jesus of Nazareth?" So we can assume that these soldiers know the story. They're probably aware, but they have no reason not to obey these orders to guard the tomb and to keep the disciples from creating some story that Jesus had been raised from the dead. In verse 64, it talks about the motivation. He says, "Therefore, command the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may go and steal him away and tell the people he's been raised from the dead. And the last deception would be worse than the first." And so these soldiers may have gone to that tomb over that weekend, not just to do their duty, but maybe even thinking they had a very noble task to protect the story that undergirded their religious system. Until the shaking begins. And that shaking isn't just the earth, it's them as well. In verse 2, it says, "Suddenly there was a great earthquake as the angel rolls away the stone." And that word is seismos. We know, like a seismic shaking, right? That's the word there for earthquake. And it's the same word used in verse 4 when it says, "For fear of him, the guards shook." They had a seismic shaking as well and became like dead men. So things are getting shaken up a little bit. And the soldiers are afraid, it says. But what I want us all to notice about that is that that fear is totally normal. It is what we always find in any encounter with God in the scriptures. The shepherds were afraid when the angels appeared to them singing on Christmas, the first Christmas night. Peter was afraid when Jesus got in the boat and found all these fish that he couldn't catch. Hence, the women are afraid. Hence the command in verse 5. "Do not be afraid," is what the angel says to the women. Fear in the presence of God is normal. Everyone is afraid when they meet God. And even after they're told not to be afraid, Matthew writes, "So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples." They still have, the women still have this fear about them. And so the soldiers' fear in this shaking reality is normal. They have reasons to be afraid too. They have reasons to be afraid from the authorities who told them to guard the tomb and keep it sealed, and now suddenly it's unsealed and open and the body isn't there. What is going to happen to them? They have reasons to be afraid that they will be accused of treason, which is to support a story that isn't the narrative that the authorities want the people to hear. They have reason to fear rejection from their communities as they tell this story that again shakes things up. And so they go and run to tell their authorities up the chain of command. The problem is they're going to another group of people who are very afraid as well. The religious leaders were afraid that their religion was being corrupted by Jesus. Or maybe more poignant, they were afraid that their authority was being undermined by Jesus. They were afraid that the story and the system that holds them up was crumbling. And at this point, the priests and the elders of the people are already in too deep. They cannot repent at this point. They have gone all in on preserving a very particular story and a very particular system. They've gone to the point of killing Jesus. And for all of us, there is some point where it seems no matter what God does, we are too invested in the stories and the systems of the world to embrace whatever new thing God is doing. But the soldiers, they still have a decision to make. They can do their duty. They can follow the chain of command and let the chips fall where they may. Or they can embrace this new thing that God is doing, even as it calls them to put at risk their safety, their livelihood, their approval, and their acceptance. They can choose to embrace a new story for their lives. You see, what was the role of Jewish soldiers in God's plan? It was that God would use them to, in some great divine war, destroy the pagans. They were going to be on the front line of bringing about God's kingdom by violence and war. Or they can let go of that story and embrace a new story that is led by one who suffered and died for all people. You see, the resurrection forces us to betray, at some point, in some way, our earthly allegiances. And even the loyalty to follow the systems of this world and to play by their rules. And it forces us to do that because the systems of the world are organized around fear. The fear of losing safety, prosperity, and approval. It's the fear of losing these things that keeps us in line. And now the soldiers are no longer safe if they tell this new story. They have no hope of moving up in the world, and they risk losing the approval of their authorities and their families, maybe, if they do not lie. And they choose to sign the non-disclosure agreement. They choose to sacrifice their Easter story. They choose to work the system and tell the old story that undergirds the system that they think keeps them safe and prosperous and in. You see, the soldiers had been well trained and equipped to protect against the conspiracy of men to undermine this system and this story. But they were not equipped to protect against a divine conspiracy to shatter the stories and the systems of this world and tell a new story and create a new system that was motivated by love instead of fear. Come back to the women. A couple weeks ago, I heard this quote that I thought of when I was preparing this message. It's by a therapist named Hillary McBride. And she said, "There's something that's really important about knowing that we can sit in a space of fear and have it not be the thing that controls us." You see, the soldiers have fear, but are controlled by it. The women leave the tomb filled with fear, but also great joy. They are able to sit in this space where there is fear, but not be controlled by it. They recognize that there is more to their experience than just fear. There is joy. There is hope. there is the presence of God doing a new thing in the world. And so they go and they tell their Easter story. And it's a story that has been told day after day, Sunday after Sunday, until this very morning. And friends, I want you to know this morning that it's okay to be afraid. It's human. You might even say, if you're not afraid, you're not encountering God. Because everyone who encounters God has to be told, do not be afraid. But just because you feel afraid doesn't mean you have to act on that fear. It doesn't mean you have to sign away your Easter story. You can feel fear, but choose to act on joy and on hope and on love. The key is to know what you're afraid of. What is the cross that the world is holding over you so that you will not risk a life of hope? Is your cross the fear of losing your sense of safety and security? Is your fear the fear of not having enough of the world's resources to survive? Is your fear potentially losing the approval or acceptance of someone or some group in this world? And if those fears control you, you will sign away your Easter story. But you don't have to. You can sit in the fear of not being safe and of not having enough and of not being accepted and approved of, and still choose to join Abraham and Sarah, Moses and Miriam, Mary and Joseph, Mary Magdalene and Peter, on the frightening but joyful journey of faith. You can blaze this trail with them into creating a new system that is undergirded by a new and better story, where the loss of the things of this world can and does lead to resurrection. There is a new system, a better story, that is structured and motivated by love and by joy. Because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.